The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Good morning. It's Keep Awake Sunday. So I'm going to have you stand up, actually, and come a little closer to the font. Because when we talk about keeping awake, and we heard some words from Jesus today and Isaiah about noticing. Keep awake kind of means to notice. So I want you to look around and tell me what you notice about the sanctuary today. There's water, it's blue. There's a lot of blue. Yep. What else? There's crafts. Yes, in the fellowship hall there are crafts. How about here? There's a wreath. It's called an Advent wreath. Yeah. There's a fake tree. He wanted to be sure that to point that out. You're right. We have the tree up. So what does it look like we're getting ready for? Advent and Christmas, right? Have any of you started to get ready? Anybody have their tree?
I have it up.
Yeah? That's a lot. Yeah. Anybody made some cookies yet?
Not me.
Not yet? Anyone still have pumpkins in their yard?
No.
Yeah, we still have pumpkins out front. We are in transition. Okay, careful. So, what I want you to notice that we have the baptismal font. We baptized two people last night, and we will baptize another baby at the next service. But then look how it lines right up with the candles all the way to the cross. So in Advent, we start getting ready for Jesus to be born, but then we also keep our eyes on the promise of the cross. So I'm going to have you, we're going to do something, though. We don't quite have everything ready in the sanctuary for today. So I want you to come walk over to this tree. Okay, careful, and don't bump into the candle. Thank you, Chris. All right. Now, some of you have your tree up, and you can do this when you get home, or you can do it after you get your tree up. We need to do a little blessing of the Christmas tree. Okay? So we have Christmas trees. Good. And we have Christmas trees, and they're evergreens because they're green all year. And we put lights on them to help us remember the light of Jesus. So what do you feel like is maybe not on this tree?
A star.
There's no star. There's no ornaments. There's no decorations. There's no lights that are on. Okay, so we're going to start getting ready. That's what Advent's about. Yeah. It glows all the way at your house. That's good. You are good at noticing what is not here yet. Good job. All right, so we're going to say a little prayer together to bless this tree, and then I'm going to hand this out to you, okay, to take home and bless your own tree. Are you ready to pray? Okay. Loving Jesus, thank you for the gift of watching and waiting for Jesus. Be with us this Advent. Bless this tree so that it can remind us of your love and light. Amen. The lights came on. Now there's power. All right, please go ahead and take a blessing and you can go back to your seat. Likely you can take one for you and your brother. Here you go, Teddy. Okay. Well, or she can take it. There you go. All right. Thank you. Make sure he knows where to go. I confuse them when I move them. So I came across this short video this week as we enter the seasons of Advent and Christmas that I thought you might identify with in one way or another.
Wow, 70 degrees in November? Honey, you want to go for a walk or something?
So we have 20 coming for Thanksgiving. I'm thinking of putting your brother here, and then my parents just sit right there next to him. What's your problem? What's wrong?
Honey, amazing Thanksgiving dinner. Everything was so yummy. Now for my favorite part, doing nothing and watching football.
Oh! Yay!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Why?
Woo! Let's get to work.
So you might be able to guess which one of those people I am. And I do love getting set up for Advent. I think I get this from my mother, who had her tree up the weekend before Thanksgiving. So she took it up a notch this year. But I love this, you know, I think I like just having it all set and ready to go, to be ready for the busyness of that season. But I can also appreciate my husband, who would prefer to go for a walk when it's 70 degrees out and not get the lights up, even though it was nice outside. But it's okay, because we have this time where we get to live in the middle. And maybe you like to take it nice and slow, or maybe you like to get it all done at once. Maybe you're one who is hoping to recapture some sort of memory or feeling or ritual from childhood that brings about the season for you. Or maybe you just want to hold off dealing with what is to come in this season, whether it's busyness or emotion or those signs of change that become really stark this time of year. We do start to notice how much kids have grown, or what we can put in the stockings, or who's missing this time of year, either fresh and new or who we've been missing for a while. And all of those things come together where I think we end up being somewhere in the middle. Advent's kind of one of those back and forth, not Christmas, Christmas, not ready, ready type of seasons, where we're living in the middle of the joy of a promise kept with Christ's birth, coming into our lives and into the world, and also on the other side, that tug of the prayers, the hopes, the goals, maybe the plans that aren't done or are unanswered, not fulfilled, waiting, open to receive that grace. And this is the gift of being on the journey with God, and it's also the struggle. And in many ways, all these elements get wrapped up and flung around all throughout Advent and Christmas. And our gospel today, Mark, is not any different. He is very abrupt, right? He takes this giant leap, not just into Advent, but into all the deeper questions of life and faith and how, when, where, why God shows up in this world. The gospel reading has in and of itself this back and forth quality. Is Jesus saying that his return is very soon? Will it happen now, just around the corner, or is it a really long ways off? Which way are we supposed to read it now, after thousands of years? Well, for Mark's readers in the time around 70 CE, when Mark was writing, this was a commentary on their present day reality and struggles. There's a Jewish revolt against Rome, the temple gets destroyed, and for them it appeared that the world, at least their world, was coming to an end. For Mark's people, there was a strong back and forth of Jesus' return now or in the future. And Mark is declaring here that it's neither, or maybe it's both, that we live waiting and watching, keeping awake all the time, because the birth of Jesus has already happened. God has shown up, Emmanuel, in the world. And everything we do now gets shaped by that reality. There's a little mini parable, a couple of them, but the one of the master and the servant that Jesus tells here is foreshadowing his walk to Jerusalem and his death and resurrection on the cross. This moment of when the heavens will shake and the sun will darken is this moment of love again being poured out for the world. And so any second coming or next coming, no matter when it is, will be like the first, as a human, vulnerable like a baby or like a man on a tree. And so we are called to keep awake on this journey with God, looking for Christ in place of openness and need and vulnerability, our own and those that are around us. These, our steps in Advent then become this journey that doesn't have an exact straight path, right? Even though we've been here before and we might even have an understanding of where we're going, there's always some twists and turns in the way. I had a hike like this last week, just a few days ago. My husband and I were in Arizona, and he said, well, let's go hike Camelback. And being a Colorado native in Arizona, I think, no big deal, right? I take great pride in being able to ascend anything that's at a lower elevation than which I live. And so the ascent really was not the issue. It was steep. There was a legitimate boulder scramble at the top, but it was what I expected. And we were able to have easy conversation and take in the view and let our minds wander a bit as we hiked up. Then it was time to go down. And I never really like going down because it tricks you into thinking it's going to be easier. And it's not really, you know, it's easier to hurt your knees, it's easier to fall. So down always feels a little more dangerous to me. But this descent was, I don't know if it was because of how steep the sides were and the visual of it, but I had this, like, vertigo issue where I could not get my balance or my bearings, and I really have never wanted to be off a mountain so much in my life. And so the climb down was slow and methodical. It took all my concentration, and Rob had to hold my hand the whole way. So this hike that I jumped into quickly became one that I ended up doing with baby steps as well. I think that's more like the journey of Advent and the journey of being a person of faith in this world. At times, the path is something we're ready for, and at times, we need someone alongside us holding our hand to keep us going. I found myself in another situation this week that felt like this path, and I found myself speaking rather firmly to God. I had done all the things I was supposed to do alongside a family who was experiencing pain and heartbreak that was fresh and new as they dwelt right in the middle of some good news, but also some very bad news for the health of a family member. I had shown up, listened, prayed. I was at a conference where we worship twice a day and I lit a candle every time, and I kept on praying for them. And frankly, the answer or non-answer or whatever it is that God was or is doing in this situation wasn't really cutting it for me. There was no miraculous recovery or breakthrough, and really no shimmers or glimmers of light seemed to be getting through. And so like Isaiah in our first reading today, I figured God needed to be reminded about showing up, at least showing up in some way that we can see. And as I spoke firmly, I connected in a new way with Advent and why we even have this reading from Isaiah in the first Sunday of this season. See, Isaiah, in this part of his writing, it's a lament. It's a cry and a plea for God to show up, to come down, to bring forth mighty acts of healing and redemption. Isaiah is calling upon God's long-term memory in the midst of the people he's dwelling with feeling abandoned. They know that God can do great things. God has delivered them from slavery and from exile. But now they feel like God is hiding. And Isaiah wants God to be there and wants God to remember the promise of forgiveness and presence and grace for the people that are made in God's very image, molded as clay in the potter's hands. So I reminded God of this molding, of this promise of grace that is also received in baptism. It's very fitting that we'll have three baptisms on this first Sunday in Advent, because baptism is God doing a new thing and showing up, and God doing a very old thing, continuing to show up and be in people's lives. And so I reminded God that we are renouncing the devil and evil and the ways of the world and walking with justice and peace. Reminded God that these are children of God and of baptism being a place where we find ourselves rooted in the story of God present and the story of God to come. God now and not yet. Now, I don't have a nice little happy ending to put on this story at this time, but I can say that I will keep reminding God as long as it takes. Keep stepping in with prayers and candles and hope, living in the middle of knowing God's Christmas promise to be with us and knowing the heartbreak that continues to be falling on those paths as well. These are the first steps, the baby steps of Advent for us all. The season of Advent gives us a time to notice, to wake up, to take those steps that go forward in hope while also holding the hand of the pain of our own struggles or those around us or the literal breaking of humanity in the world. This is a time to watch and wait, not passively, to go ahead and leap in, but also to notice the weeping and the wailing alongside the joy and the anticipation of renewed hope. It's a time where God comes to open our eyes to ordinary things becoming holy. It is a time when we are reminded that even though we walk with broken hearts in a broken world, we walk with courage and compassion and peace. As God shows up on our paths, coming into the places that we have been before and taking us to new steps. And in all of this, Jesus has come before and will come again, right into the lowest, slowest, most dizzying places, and promises to hold our hand. Amen. We continue with our time together reflecting on the word. There are sacred space stations for you to participate in, and we will join together in singing.